And welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will.
Alexander. Yes, you are. And we are here today on St. Patrick's Day. We are recording on St. Patrick's Day. You'll hear a little bit about that, a whole bunch about data and more. All that right here on the Dog Show Drive. Good morning, young William, and a good morning it is. How the heck are you, buddy?
I'm good, Wayne. I'm wearing my green for the day, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's my favorite holiday. It's my only holiday. I really don't care much about the others, but happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. I was going to scold Will last week because he said Paddy Cap for the Irish cap, but I love Will, so I didn't want to correct him on the air. So no one will hear this part because I put the filter button on, so you can't hear this, right? It's St. Patrick's Day. You don't dare say Paddy.
No, okay, no, I know. But the little hat well wear, they still call them, even the Irish call them Paddy.
Yeah, in your hat and over your ears, as my Aunt Betty used to say. And she says on Easter, she'd say, in your Easter bonnet and over your ears. But St. Patrick's Day, of course, you know, I have a great book on the 9 Irish native breeds. And
of course you do. Did you write it?
Didn't they send you one?
Did you write it?
The Irish Kennel Club made it.
No, I haven't seen it. No.
Beautiful.
No, I'd like to see it.
I have a few.
You heard that, folks. This is an agreement now.
If I can get it over the border these days, yeah. Smuggle it. It's beautiful. It's an Irish Kennel Club book. And it's a pictorial, beautiful, all Celtic rope and crosses. It's just gorgeous. And it has all the Irish native breeds in there. You can name them all, right, Will?
Well, we have an Irish native. Excuse me.
Pardon me. Can you name the 9 Irish?
The 9? Okay, let me think.
Mr. Green Jersey Irish guy?
Let me think on it then. Huh? Hold a second there, son. So we've got the Irish setter. We've got the Irish red and white setter. We've got the Glen of Amal Terrier. We've got the Kerry Blue Terrier. We got the Irish Water Spaniel. We've got the Wheaton Terrier. We've got the Irish Wolfhound. We've got the, I said Glen of Amal already, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
I'm missing 2.
Irish Wolf. Kerry Blue?
I said Kerry Blue, didn't I?
I think you maybe did. So the one that most people miss is the Kerry Beagle.
Oh, I would have. I have a picture of a Kerry Beagle because when I had that young man from Ireland come over here, Ryan, he brought me a picture, a portrait of a Kerry Beagle.
The Irish Kennel Club commissioned a very famous portrait artist who did these prime minister every year. And they commissioned a painting of a pack of Scartines, the Scartine pack, which are Kerry Beagles for me. And I have it. It's gorgeous. It's a giant oil, cool breed. Tom Kramer.
I can't actually see what's the difference. I can't think of it. So,
The Kerry Beagles are a big. They sort of look like. Boy, I hate to. It's such a specific, unique breed. It's a black and tan dog. There's no white, and they're smaller than a coonhound. More like a smaller. If you take hound shows, they cross English and American coonhounds foxhounds all the time. If you took an English foxhound and an American foxhound and shrunk it down a wee bit and made it black and tan, that's what they look like. They're beautiful, but they are 100% instinct. Bringing them to a show is funny. There's just almost, you know, relatively feral when it comes to coming off the farm. They are bred to hunt, and it's beautiful to watch them. Just beautiful. I've had that pleasure to follow them on foot.
That'd be fun. I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. great thing. So yeah, it's a great day for my homeland. I do have my Irish native birthright, so dual citizen thing, because of my heritage, which I'm quite proud of. But at the end of the day, if you haven't been to a show at the Irish Kennel Club, you know, and it's just, you know, they're spectacular. Oh, very sadly, come to think of it, the St. Patrick's Day show is a giant event in Ireland. It was canceled for the first time in history. Weather.
Oh.
Weather. Yeah. Some heavy rains and winds and things. And so sad, because that's just part of the Irish tradition. Originally, the dog show was held downtown Dublin in the Dublin Royal Society was the name of the building. Dublin Royal Society. Yes, I believe that's the name of the building. And it was very old and drafty and wet, but beautiful in its day. And legend has it that, the parade route ended at the dog show. Now, it's a very religious holiday in Ireland. No one's dyeing their damn beer green. Stop doing that. It's a good pint. Dye it green. Pour over your head. Anyway, the end of the parade would end, and it would end right near the Royal Dublin Society. So people would filter into the dog show where you could buy a beer, because you can only buy a beer at a sporting event on St. Patrick's Day because it's a religious holiday. So you couldn't get a pint anywhere else in Dublin.
So they all came to the dog show to get
a beer. They all came to the dog show. Way improved the gate. I highly recommend it for any dog club. But the legend has it, the Lord Mayor of Dublin once turned around and went, "The hell are all these dogs doing here?" Didn't even know it was a dog show.
There's a St. Patrick's Day parade in Toronto, because Toronto is a lot of Irish. My father's right from Ireland. My father's from Bangor, and my mother's family's from Killarney. But my son, Jamie, and I used to go downtown for the St. Patrick's Day parade, and then we would catch the Irish Film Festival, too, while we're down there. And one year, we had a bomb threat in the theater.
Jeez.
I forget what movie it was, but it was a movie about the Troubles. It was good. Let's go, Jesus.
Yeah. Only the Irish can name a good old War of the Troubles. You know, you got to love it. They're so fascinated with dogs, and so amazing at the history keeping. Years after the Royal Dublin Society folded in disrepair, Tom Cramer, the legendary, wonderful friend, dear, dear, dear friend of ours, and yours too, Will, he was the chairman of the Irish Kennel Club for, I don't know, forever, and very clever man. And he bought land near the airport in Dublin, which he then eventually, and I think I've told the story, he sold areas of dirt, you know.
Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah. And under that was a rainbow. So you paid to see a pot of gold, of course. And under that square, whatever it is, of dirt, there would be a pot of gold. So you bought it because the pot of gold would be under there. And everybody knew, you know, it was a cool idea, though. And that's how they paid for the grounds and built the buildings, which are beautiful.
Amazing. It is a beautiful facility. I've got Sean Delmar, who is the chairman now. He's lined up to do an interview with me. So we're trying to figure out dates. Yeah. So.
How about that? Well, send him my love. Anyway, they're so proud of their breeds. And Irish soft coated Wheaton Terrier, that could have been the one you missed, Will.
Irish soft coated Wheaton Terrier? I said soft coated Wheaton Terrier. I didn't really
figure out the missing link, but we'll figure it out.
I think the only one I missed was the Kerry Beagle.
Yeah, it's true. I think that's true. So a seminar I went to over there, this good old Mullingar man came in with a Kerry and a Wheaton, shaved down to the skin, and never said what they were, and put them on a table and said, "Let's do a Kerry Blue seminar." It was fascinating. Fascinating to see those.
Oh, they have some good Kerry Blue breeders over there. Oh,
they sure do. They sure do, including my grandpa. Who I'd never met, by the way. He died when my dad was very young. But I do have some cool pictures of my dad because he bred chows too. So I have a cool picture of him with chow, my dad, which I posted today on the Book of Faces, as my father would call it. That's what he called it.
The Book of Faces. The Book of Faces.
We couldn't sort him out and he didn't care.
I think we should start calling it that just because.
Yeah, that's Book what he called faces. It. That's all there was to it. Yeah. I saw that picture of you. There was Doris said there was a picture of you on the book with the Book of Faces, something like the Book of
Faces. Well, I like that. The Book of Faces. We could probably start our own social network and call it the Book of Faces.
There you go. But my dad, who was also, born in the sport and loved it every minute of it until the day he passed, which was today, 6 years ago. Now,
I know it doesn't seem that long ago. Wow, 6 years have passed. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look at your. I'm trying to find your picture. Oh, there we are. There it is, right there, on the Book of Faces. I found it, Wayne.
Pretty cool, huh? And him with Charlie the Beagle too.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great. Those are great pictures.
Aren't they cool? Yeah. He was a great guy. And
who's that judging his beagle there?
Alva Rosenberg.
Yes, those are great shots.
Alva gave him a group from the classes. I think his third dog show over Desert Wind. That's why Bob bought Desert Wind. Bought Charlie from Forsythe for Validay Kennels, Mildred Lowe, because he didn't want to get beat by, he didn't want my father to beat him with the Afghan anymore.
That's a great picture. I love it.
Yeah, fun times. But
I'm going to save them both.
He was very ill, but he really. We kept telling him, Dad, we talked every day. Well, I was with him every day. And I said, Dad, it's okay. It's okay. You can go if you want. It's okay. We had weeks to tell each other how much we loved each other. And he said to me, I'm not going anywhere to St. Patrick's Day. I said, Dad, that's 10 days from now. He said, he's gone. I'm not going here to St. Patrick's Day. And sure as hell, we got the call 9 o'clock in the morning on St. Patrick's Day that he passed. And it was so sad and so heart-wrenching, but at the same time, so him and so heartwarming. And on St. Patrick's Day, I just can't help but remember what a stubborn Irishman he would be to do that and call his own day and make it a memorable one. So a happy and sad day for us every year, but one that we celebrate every time. And by the way, if you're wondering if all Irishmen drink, my father never had a drink in his life. He wasn't opposed to it. It's never occurred to him.
What do you call Irish sunblock?
I don't know.
A pub.
Hey, there's a show that we'll talk about dogs pretty soon. I saw a show on TV.
We've been dancing around dogs. It's in there.
It is. I saw a show that Cheryl found about it's house hunting. One of those house hunter shows.
Yeah.
But they're BBC versions and Irish television versions, and they're looking for houses in Ireland and England. And I swear to you, in at least every other one, when they're looking for a location, the husband, be he 18 or 90, says it's got to be a walking distance from a good public. That's a public house. That's where you get a beer, right? From a good pub. And it's very important. And I've got an Irish friend here who has a very, very, I don't want to say his name because it's a giant company. And he's got a giant position. He's quite the really impressive guy from Ireland. He's moved here about maybe 15 years ago. And every night he leaves his gilded offices and secretaries and assistants, and he stops at the local to have a pint before he goes home to his bride. Held that tradition. I could never do that.
Even when I was 20. The young lad that worked for me, Ryan, when he worked for me, he told stories. I guess he lived in the same town that Sean Connery also lived in. And they'd see him at night going to the pub.
Pretty cool. And you had Tom Kramer's granddaughter working for you.
Yep, Clodagh. We message back and forth probably every month or so, Clodagh and I.
Yeah, about as big of a character and personality as her grandpa. I mean, geez.
I had fun with them.
Full of personality, that crew. Missed them dearly. Need to get over there. Anyway, the Irish native breeds are important to me, obviously. And I think any sporting dog enthusiast needs to really look into how and why they work. If you've been through the Dublin Mountains, you know why Irish setters need to be Irish setters.
Yeah.
I took a field trial buddy of mine from Todd Kellum, who worked for me years ago, to Ireland. And he loved Kramer. He just loved Kramer. And Tom took us out. We called him Kramer. It was Tom Kramer. Spelled Creamer, by the way, for Americans, if you're wondering. And we'd go out to the Irish mountains and the Dublin Hill, the Dublin Mountains. I'm getting verklempt. And run Irish setters and across the peat bogs and in the hills and everywhere. And that's when you learned why Irish setters can't look like giant, cloddy, overdone, exaggerated beasts.
I think at one point, the first line in the Irish Standard was, must appear racy. So,
yeah.
That's the breed I missed. I missed Irish Terriers. Must appear racy. I missed Irish Terriers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine I missed Irish Terriers? I love Irish Terriers.
Jeez. That's right. And Bobby Fischer, Todd Clyde Terriers.
Yep.
Yeah. And Woody Wernal Terriers.
Yeah.
Plenty of guys that have done
Bobby Clyde. Yeah, Bobby Clyde. Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Clyde, not Todd. Yeah. They've really produced some wonderful dogs, and they all have very purposeful dogs. You know, they're not dogs you just decorate, they're workmanlike because they're all farm dogs or working dogs. They weren't just dogs that around. Carries were very much a farm dog. In my family, evidently they were. And they do everything on the farm, kill the vermin. You can hunt with them, do anything with them.
Yeah, even the Glen of Amal, which is relatively new over here, they were very workmanlike over there, you know.
And they still, you know, you'd hope they still are. So there you have our malarkey for the Irish holiday.
That's the show, folks.
That's it. Bagpipes next. Hold your ears. The bagpipes are loud. Have you ever heard bagpipes in person, Will?
Oh, yeah. The Cairn Terrier special. See, every year they bring them in by bagpipes here in Canada.
So. Is that right? How cool.
Yeah.
My brother plays the bagpipes, and he took it up at a very late age, and he ended up having a pretty good whack it with COVID, which depleted his lungs quite a bit. And one of the prescriptions from his doctor was
play the bagpipes.
Play your bagpipes.
That's funny. You know, after I had my heart attack, they gave me a list of things, and it said after 3 days I could play the piano. I still can't play the piano.
Well played, William. Well played.
That's a true story. I said that to my doctor.
That's beautiful. One more Irish story that is absolutely true. I may have told it years ago on this show because I think I've been doing it for 20 years now, but it feels like it sometimes. But when I was doing the broadcasting for Crufts, you'd run down and interview the winners. And when the Clumber Spaniel from Ireland went best in show at Crufts, I said to the man, this must be the most exciting one of your life. He disagreed, young William. Because he said, it's a good one, but I went second in the sport. And then, I went second in the gun dog group at the Irish show last week. How cool is that? Just a little dig saying, but it was better to go second in the Irish Kennel Club show because I'm Irish. Just a little dig, the friendly dig to the Brits, you know, back and forth. It's all good. Sure. It's all in good fun. But it was a great answer. And by the way, that Clumber Spaniel went back to Ireland to become, he just roamed the neighborhood and went to the pubs. He was a pub dog. He went
like Sean Connery.
Like Sean Connery, except he'd show up at the guy's house, you know, once in a while, but he pretty much just roamed the little village. We don't have those little villages, Will. We don't have them. We could trust a dog to just walk around loose and
I've been up north in the northern communities, and you see dogs more apparent wandering around the neighborhood. Mm. I remember driving through a town up on my way up to Sudbury. And this golden retriever crossed in front of us. We all looked at each other and go, oh my God, that finished easy.
Speaking of Gordon setters.
No, that was a golden retriever, sorry.
Oh, golden retriever. But I'm speaking of Gordon setters anyway. Okay. I'm gonna make you, it was a Gordon setter you saw in my mind. So let's go there.
All right.
We talked sadly that Gordon setters are now a low entry breed. And indeed they are. But the top 10 list came out.
Not my top 10 list, but yeah.
The top 10 most popular breeds in America, according to the American Kennel Club. This is a button for me, Will.
Yeah. I know it is. We talked earlier. Yeah. Yeah. Let's do it.
Anyway,
I'm ready.
In it, Gordon Setters jumped from, you don't jump four spots very often. Gordon Setters jumped from 113 to 99. So they crept up the list four spots. It's a big deal. Maybe. On a percentage basis, it could be that there was one more litter of Gordon Setters. We just don't know what the percentage is because they no longer publish how many dogs. They just rank them. For 100 years, the AKC printed this list every month. Never mind every year. Every month in the Gazette. Here are the number of dogs ranked, the number of breeds by rank. Over to the left, no, that would be the right column, was how many individual dogs they registered and how many litters they registered. Now, that's data. You can use that. You could also tell how many. You don't know now from, say, number one to number 20. Breed number 25 might have seven dogs registered and everybody else has six. You just don't know that. You know, you don't know how quick it drops off. My guess and my anecdotal and my data from years past tells me that 80% of the dogs come from the top 20 breeds. It's a big fall off after that. In addition, the new breeds, the 50 million new breeds they brought in the last 25 years, 52 breeds it is actually, in the last 20, could be 22, but last two decades or so. They don't appear. They're not at dog shows. You don't see them on the streets. So bringing them in is great. To get into the registry, you need to prove that you have 300 to 400 dogs with a three-generation pedigree from somewhere else. And it's got to be an approved registry, whatever that means. It could be from Sri Lanka, right? Which has, you know, a registry. I'm not sure if that's conflated or not, because they can bring in 400 dogs, or say they have 400, and one shows up at a dog show every six shows. What good is that? Yes, I think it's great and people preserving these breeds, but it really skews data. And when I look at this top 10 list or top whatever list, a little mea culpa. My fault. In 1992, when I was at the AKC, I decided that David Letterman was hysterical and he did a top 10 list. And I thought, how can we incorporate that into our media and our press at the AKC? And me and others came up with this idea to put together the 10 top 10 most popular breeds. When you're from the East Coast and you grow up at the East Coast shows and you work at the AKC, that's your world. You don't even realize there's other dogs out there. You know, I believed it. When I made that list of top 10 most popular breeds in America, I believed it. That's not what this is. This is the top 10 most registered breeds by the AKC. And I would suggest vive la différence, because number one is now the French Bulldog. That's true. I know they register more French Bulldogs. It's the first time in a billion years that Labradors got knocked off the pedestal. Now, does the AKC register all the Labradors in America? I'd say a fraction. Because there are many hunting retriever club people who register elsewhere. There are many people who have Labradors that don't register them at all.
Yeah.
Are French Bulldog people more likely to register because it's kind of a new cool status symbol? And we haven't had those status symbol breeds in a long time. But we do now in Frenchies, and they're coming in because of their popularity. They come in lilacs and all kinds of horrible colors. Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're a super breed. You know, who wouldn't love them? But, you know, the popularity causes issues. So are they just more registered than Labradors or not? By the way, go to a dog park. Now, I know they're not a breed. Don't start me. I know they're not a breed. But I'll guarantee you, if you go downtown, if you go to a dog park, if you go to your veterinarian's office, you can see more golden doodles, Will,
Oh, yeah. You sit there and count the breeds. You're a veterinary. You know? Yeah.
Not even close.
That tells you something, though. Yeah.
And by the way, you probably have seen a whole lot of pit bulls in your life. I don't mean Amstaffs. I mean pit bulls. Now, yes, you can cross-register this. That debate, I don't want to get into. But, man, you know, they don't have American pit bull terriers on the list. So the most popular dogs in America, they're not. The top dogs, the top dogs registered by the AKC. And I'm all for that. Obviously, I believed it and was essential in starting it. But it drives me crazy every year. They just say it's the most popular. Greyhounds. Greyhounds barely show up, right? They're down the bottom because not many people have show greyhounds. It's a low entry breed. But there's a whole lot of racing greyhounds out there that are retired and owned by people. They don't show up in the AKC data because they're not registered with the AKC. No one cares about that. Coonhounds, way down the bottom of AKC registrations. That incorporation did not work out. You see rarely any at dog shows. But I know the UKC registers tens of thousands of them every year. They're not on the list.
That is true. Like, there's a ton of those.
And how about American Foxhounds, English Foxhounds that are registered with the Master of the Foxhounds Association, the MF, Masters of the Foxhounds Association, which used to be, can't think of Dennis's last name now. But anyway, the new guy is Tony. Bless God. He's an Irishman. He's a great character. Oh, boy, is he a character. Great horseman, too, and hunter. But they register a whole lot of foxhounds. They register Penn Meridels, mixes that they can mix the foxhound breeds, English foxhounds, American foxhounds, Penn Meridels, and many other foxhounds in their registry. Yet foxhounds are one of the bottom three breeds, I think, or the bottom 10 at least, in the AKC's registry. So just because the AKC doesn't register English foxhounds doesn't mean they're not popular. They're out there. So it's all for fun, I guess. And I'm for that. And that's why I was one of the ones involved in starting it. But we need to see it as a novelty more than accurate data. And I sure would like to see accurate data about how many dogs of each breed are being registered and how many litters of each breed are being registered, as was done until only 10, 15 years ago. I don't know why you want to hide. Well, I guess they wanted to hide it when it crashed from 1.3 million to 400,000. They didn't want to show how low they'd gone. We need that data as breeders to figure out what's going on and what we can do in certain breeds to help and where things are going. Ian, of course, you see a whole lot of those at dog shows?
No, not really. We have a pocket in Ontario where we get about 5 or 6.
What do you think? How do you think they rank? I may have told you this before. The AKC's most popular breeds in America. 18.
18. Wow. 18.
Is that representative? I don't know. And when you bring in a new breed, the whole stud book comes at the same time, right? So if you take in the, anti-clinier puffle fish hound, you bring in the whole 300 supposedly registrations in 1 year, that could skew the data, right? That could really skew the data. So there's a lot to it. I think we need more data, more accurate data. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of for the AKC. They're doing real well in registrations now. And mostly through pet shops and commercial breeders, but they're getting registered and they're purebred dogs. And the majority of which do come from commercial breeders, I believe, as far as registries go. I'm sure of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. People want Irish Setter puppies. And if they can't get them from us, they get them from a pet shop or whatever.
Right.
I don't like it, but the AKC's cleaned up the commercial business as best they can. And there are some very good. Someone was just telling me, oh, I know who it was. I don't think I should mention his name. He's a famous veterinarian, brilliant, and he's been on inspections. And also, he's been to kennels to help them with eye abnormalities. We're talking commercial breeding operations in the farmlands. He showed me pictures of an Amish commercial breeding facility. We'd call it a puppy mill if we saw the numbers, right? It is the most beautiful kennel I've ever seen.
Wow. Because a lot of them are not. So
he said they wanted to learn. They really wanted to learn. And if you think about it, now, obviously, there's many exceptions. But if they're going to make money selling dogs, they've got them to, they need them to be healthy. They want to know how to select for these things so they can get more money and breed more right. dogs. Right? So, yeah, it's an interesting crossroads has that and how that is intersected. And I don't know how it affects the sport, but I do know one thing I don't know, Will. Here's what I don't know. How many dogs are shown every year? Why can't we find that number?
You're all about data today, aren't you? I'll have to get my staff at Cobequenque, Ontario to start looking into this.
I think you should. Because they do publish, the AQC does publish, how many dogs are entered, you know, how many dog show entries we have, 10 billion, whatever it might be. That tells me nothing, Will. It tells me nothing. Because the same dog might be entered 300 times. Well, they are.
Yeah.
Top dogs that are racing for the race, they enter 300-400 times. They don't go to all those shows, but they double enter just in case. You know, they're losing on Thursday. They're also entered at five shows somewhere else. So if they get beat the first day or someone shows up, they can just pack up, go there. And that's our sport now, right?
Yeah.
So great data that is. It doesn't tell us anything about how many individual dogs are being shown. How many individual dogs? I don't care how many entries. All you did was add 10 billion dog shows. That'll bring your entries up, I guess. How many individual dogs? Why don't we know that? We can't determine the health of the sport without knowing how many dogs, individuals, are being shown. Same is true for juniors and everything else. Don't you want to know how many dogs that are entered are shown by professional handlers as opposed to owner handlers? I do. And by the way, if you try to do it by owners, every dog now is owned by 16 people. Have you noticed this, Will? how many owners are there in purebred dogs? Oh, I'd say it's probably a billion because every dog has got a telephone book list of owners.
Is there still a telephone book? I don't know if there's...
We talked about that last week.
I know, yeah. I'm still wondering that. I have to ask for that.
I did find one, yeah. It was moldy, but I did find one. Anyway, that's my data rant, but I don't think it's a rant as much as it's an issue, right? Yeah. You're in miscellaneous class for 1 to 3 years. You come into FSS, Foundation Stock Service, for a new breed, this is. You come into FSS, and you can come in there with anything. And then once the AQC determines you're legitimate enough, they bring you into miscellaneous. That probably is, there's no promise when you're in FSS that you're ever going to get to miscellaneous. Most breeds won't. There are 72 breeds in FSS right now. That's what we need, Will. 72 more breeds that no one heard of with a small population.
I just want to put this in perspective. 10 minutes before we started recording, we asked each other, got anything? They both said nothing. You give Wayne a topic, whoa. And we start off with St. Patrick's Day. I could have gone and done my laundry.
That's true, Will. That is true. I said, you got anything, Will? No, got nothing. Got anything, Wayne? No, I got nothing.
The show anyway. About nothing. See what happens?
There you have it. My goodness, that was fun. Anyway, some big dog shows came and went.
Yeah, one's still going on.
Yeah, how about Crufts?
Yep, came and went.
Sure was a big event, as always. I loved seeing when people go for the first time, and now with the Book of Faces, they publish these amazing sights they see. Someone called me and said, "I can't believe they're wearing jeans in the group ring." That's pretty much what you wear. If you're showing elaborate, you got muck boots on and jeans and a nice sweater, maybe.
Well, I showed a pug in Ireland in my jeans. I remember Clodagh said, here, show this. And I went and showed my jeans. So.
Why not? Why do we dress up to take care of livestock, Will? Who wears suits to take care of livestock? Anyway, big differences. But the big difference for me, and boy, we're going next year, Will. It's been, I missed a couple of years, is watching all the dogs on the benches lined up where people can sit and talk to each other about their breed. You're like stuck there all day. Yeah. So you've got to talk, like him or not. But it was a big win for Orca, the Bogoto that was shown here.
Yeah, very familiar dog for us all because we got to see her in action. Yep. She was here in America being shown, or there in America.
How about that gun dog group? Wow. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
A Labrador with type yet athleticism. There was a flat coat. They were just beautiful. The chassis was beautiful. An American breed, by the way. There's not many of those, you know. It was really fascinating to see that group and see such great quality. Really fun to watch. Really fun to watch. I enjoyed it on my little screen on my computer.
We'll be in person next year, Wayne. I promise. We'll do it. Dog Show Drive and is going across the pond.
This is a very biased statement I'm about to say. When Peter Purvis, famous personality over there, Jessica Holm, brilliant and famous presenter. Presenters are what you call us over there, talent. An artist. And Frank Kane, who's just this bursting passion of purebred dogs, and I did the commentary, the four of us. It felt like we were in your living room. And poor Frank has one other person now. There was a lot of card reading, and he tried. He couldn't get a word in most often, and I'm sorry if it didn't. I'm biased, but damn it, Will, we were pretty good together. We were the golden years, not because of me. They, Peter, Jessica, Frank, that team will never come together again, unfortunately, for many reasons. But my goodness, I miss that banter. I miss that casual banter.
Yeah, that's what's important, I think, the casual banter. It makes people think that they're in an inner circle more than just being told, you know.
Yeah, you read a card, everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it still was brilliantly shot, and I enjoyed the commentary. It just made me long for the golden commentary.
Sure.
And Frank, you were wonderful, as always. And the other woman was good, too. It just didn't have that energy, you know.
Yeah.
She knew what she was talking about, very much so. But I didn't see them feeling.
You got to like the familiarity amongst the group when they talk like they're just having a conversation. So
one of the four of us messaged me and said, if that was us, the famous producer, David Pickfall, who also produced for the Queen, would have wrung our ears for more energy. But anyway, different world, different thing. I miss you, Peter Purvis. I miss you, Jessica Holm. I miss you, Frank Kane. I get emotional thinking about you. They were great friends, Will, and they still are. And I need to get over there and see them all soon. Anyway, enough of my sentimental. This is St. Patrick's Day.
That's St. Patrick's Day. You can't seem to help yourself, can you, Wayne?
For God's sakes, I'm emotional. I can't help it. Tell me about Kentucky, Will.
What am I going to tell you? I'm not there. But it's a big show.
That's the point. I planned on going. I didn't have reservations about going. I had hotel reservations. I wanted so much to be there.
Well, life gets in the way sometimes, Wayne. I mean, things take priority.
We had some personal issues pop up. So we apologize for the delayed broadcast. In fact, today is the dog show. It's not the dog show drive. It's probably going to be the dog show drive home. From Lexington, Louisville. But giant entries, great judging panel. You know, when you get over 100 Welsh Springer Spaniels, the world is right. So,
yeah, I wish I was there this year to watch. That'd be fun.
Ken called me last night, Ken Murray, and he said, there's just something so rewarding about having big breed entries to get your teeth into.
Yeah, that's true.
Used to always be that way. But there you have it. So we're, you know, you went to some dog shows, didn't you?
We had some shows here in Lindsay, Ontario, the Scarborough Kennel Club, and they got a beautiful entry. I think they had this, their big day was 800 plus. It was great. We had a lot of the entries were fabulous. The breeders were fabulous. And we had some foreign judges. We had a judge from Taiwan, William Lee, and Japanese representative with Kinji Itao. I hope I said that right. And plus, we had some our Canadian judges as well. We had Mike and Ann Jackman and another. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun at the dog show. And Wayne is – I'm not sure what Wayne's doing right now. But it was interesting. William Lee brought these humongous ribbons with him. And they were taller than me or you, Wayne. So – But I don't know if you know William Lee. William Lee is a tall man. And in the picture, he's holding the ribbon. It's still on the ground.
Is it really?
Wow. Yeah, it's still on the ground.
How cool for them to bring that.
And it was so much fun watching how they perceive each breed. Like the gentleman from Japan, the first day, he seemed a little bit tight. And by the last day, he was having fun. He was... he was joking with exhibitors. He was eating cupcakes. He was dancing around as he was judging. Like, it was a lot of fun. And William Lee, I don't know if you all know William Lee. He is one of the co-owners of the very famous Siba bitch that was best in show, the standard poodle bitch that was best in show at Westminster. So when poodles came, there was entry of 20 plus poodles, which is big for us up here for a regular dog show. So everybody was 10 deep watching poodles that day because of how William goes through them all. He's a very, very fun judge to watch because he goes, you can tell what he likes overall. You can see where his eye gets drawn. And it was just nice that he got that much of an entry. He got miniature, good entry in miniatures, good entry in standards. It was just a nice show. And Michelle Scott and her crew at Scarborough Kennel Club put on a good dog show.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. And overall entries were good?
Yeah, there was good. It was good depth in all the breeds for our shows, because our shows on average are 300 to 500, and this one was 800. So we had three hundred wow. more entries. So
that's giant. That's a big
it
dog.
It's a big jump. And it made it like we have a lot of shows at Lindsay Fairgrounds, and because they're welcoming to dog clubs. And I think it was the first time that the parking was trouble because there were just so many people. So what's next, Wayne? Wayne's mocking me right now because when he was going on his daughter rant, I was checking messages.
So I was making believe I did the same. But I listen, Will.
You were underneath your desk at one point.
I didn't leave my chair.
You were George Costanza under your desk having a nap.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, people, we should do this online. We should show the video of these things. You're disturbed. Anyway.
We would have had to brush our hair, though, if we did it.
Yeah, we would. I think I have gel in it from yesterday. I went to the barber and they put gel in my hair.
I'm wearing a cap.
Yeah, reason for that for both of us. Anyway, were you handing out ribbons or were you collecting?
No, I was judging. I was showing. Sorry, I was showing. I showed my Irish Setter and my Beagle. Yeah, the Irish Setter went best in show on her.
I was trying to get you to say that, young lady.
Well, I don't like saying that. The Beagle girl went poppy in show the first day. Under Tony Vanadul. I forgot to mention that Tony was there as well. A shepherd breeder from up here. Good judge.
The best in shows ever lose their thrill for you, Will? I'm serious.
Never.
So excited about this one. It was really cool.
No, I when you win best in show in our world, that's what we always strive to do. I've been striving to do that since I was a kid. So when it happens now, it's.
And I think for you, I could feel the passion and I could feel the excitement because it was one of your breeds, right? It was Irish Setters. Yeah. And he lives in your house. He's yours, you know? Yeah. That sure makes it different. I had a friend who, as a breeder owner handler, went best in show at a nice size show last weekend. And I just couldn't have been any happier for him, you know? And the people that do that. They can take their own dog and pilot it through.
I co-own a border terrier too that I have a lot to do with. I've always loved the breed border terriers. Now last week while I was showing the Aracetter, he was off at an agility course. So I got a video of it. It was very cool. And he's done barn hunts. He's done all kinds of things. So
you love that.
I'm looking for another one. I want to get a girl. They're like a little big dog. You used to have a border terrier, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. I had a border terrier, lived to be 1,000. she was 20. Her name was Marge, named after my wife's mother, grandmothers. They're both named Marge. So little Margie was the border terrier, and she was a hoot. I mean, a hoot.
It's amazing.
And Tom Bradley had Flirt.
Yeah, Tom had. I went to the Irish International, and it's amazing how many Irish Setter people have border terriers too.
Oh, yeah. And horse people too. All my horse friends used to have corgis. A lot of them have border terriers now. A whole lot.
Just a little big dog, you know, and they fit in here. Like when he's here, he's out in the backyard with the Irish Setter. They're hilarious together, you know.
They do have that oil that builds up when they get old over the withers. And that can be an issue. You need to wash them a lot, but they're beautiful. I love them. And I'd have another one, but quite frankly, I don't need a breed that leaves to be 20.
You know? Well, I need to get a bigger bed with the beagles and Aracetters, and they all want to sleep on your head. So it's like,
when I told Brody that you have a Bouvier in the house, he couldn't believe it.
Well, he doesn't sleep on the bed though, so I'm lucky. He likes to see. He gets too hot. He sleeps on the floor.
But you have quite the menagerie there.
I do. I couldn't imagine being without a dog. It just makes me. I couldn't imagine it. You know.
Hey, speaking of that, Silken Fest is this weekend. In fact, I think it started today. And if you're wondering what that is, it's the Silken Windhound National. They call it Silken Fest, and it is so much fun. So much fun. I'd put it up to any other national when it comes to passion, fun, and perspective. They really aren't out there to kill each other at all. They show each other's dogs. They celebrate no matter who wins. It is really fun. And Carmen Battaglia is judging it this year. And I think he's going to love it. I'm so happy.
He'll enjoy himself.
Got that sorted. And he's there now, I think. And
I do classes every Tuesday in a place called Oxford Dog Sports. I teach classes there. And sometimes in my class, I have a Silken Fest. Sometimes I have a 2 and 3 of them in my class. And they're just fun to deal with.
By the way, they're not the most popular breed in America list, Will, because they don't exist. Even though there'll be 150 of them at the National.
I'm getting Kobe Kong on this.
Gentlemen, how big is your National? Do you have 150? Do you have 120? Do you have 100? Interesting. Anyway, I'd have one. I really would. And I just love the breed. And they'd be great house dogs. They do shed a bit, but they're just...
To a degree, you know, all dogs shed a bit. What do you do? You have hardwood floors.
We do in our house. The wolfhound was... He shed a little bit of hair, Will.
Yeah. Le Bouvier leaves Bouvier around the house, too. So.
Yeah, it's true. When you're judging, and you'll find this happen, you probably already know this, you're judging next to a certain breed, and you have to stop every 10 seconds and pick up giant hair balls that go floating into your ring from the old English ring or the Bouvier ring or whatever ring next door. So you're judging beagles, for example. Hairball in the ring could be a rabbit. So you spend a lot of time walking around picking up hair balls and throwing them in a bag. In fact, I usually get a little bag, the ribbon arm bag, you know, rubber band thing, and I stick it on my table so I can put balls in. It drives me crazy to have hair in there, hair ball. But anyway, it's a breed that if I was a younger lad, I could see myself. Brody and I talked about this. He said, wouldn't it be cool to just be 20 and have the resources and the facilities to just really focus on creating your version of a breed and or a new breed and living that through for 50 years. Well, plenty of people have done it.
Oh, exactly.
But fewer than used to. A lot fewer than used to.
I know. I remember when I was visiting Mr. E when I was a youngster, Mr. Eldridge, for all the Irish Setters, he had a farm full of Irish Setters, but it wasn't a puppy farm. He had like control, but it was never that many. But I remember driving around looking at litters, because we would go spend a day at Rose Ross's and look at litters, and those just don't happen anymore. So
no. Very few. And if you did raise, if you did have 50 runs and impeccably kept and sold a whole lot of whatever dogs you have, it'd be called a puppy mill now.
Yeah.
No matter how, oh, they bring a lot of litters, they're a puppy mill. Or they're a breeder. I don't know. Could be that. Could just be that.
But some of our greatest dogs of all time came from these giant kennels. So
yeah, they sure did. Blue Bar English Setters.
Yeah.
Boy, there's so many of them.
Look at all the beautiful Skansen's, giant schnauzers. Can you imagine giant schnauzers without Skansen?
No, I cannot. I mean, she put them on the map. She put them on the map. And created her own flavor, too. Anyway, what else you got going on there, young William?
Well, this week I have another seminar coming up, a two-day seminar in Bright, Ontario, again at the Oxford Dog Sports. So I'm looking forward to that. Starts tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Be there, be square. And it's a late start. Usually I start at 9, so I'm starting at 10 tomorrow. So
showing or judging?
No, it's a seminar.
Oh, it's a seminar. So, but not in conjunction with the show.
No, no, it's just a seminar, a standalone seminar, you know, and we're competing against Louisville. So, you know, they got their 4,000. I'll have my 25.
Do a lot of Canadians go down to Louisville?
Yeah, they do, actually. Louisville's a big show for fans. Canada put it on their calendar for sure. I loved going to Louisville.
I'm not going to miss it again. And I really wanted to go to Megan Reese Bissell. Gosh, I wish I did. Bassel. Megan, and I so apologize for never getting your name right. Megan Reese Bassel, I believe. A brilliant breeder of Welsh Springer Spaniels. And I think one of our up-and-coming really good gun dog judges. She's young, and she's smart, and she's a student. She was doing the Welsh Springer seminar, and it was last night, and it really... Of anything, it broke my heart that I couldn't be there.
Yeah.
I'd give up all the other breeds I was going to look at for that. You know, that's somebody you really want to listen to. And they were going, and with over, a, well over 100 entered, I'm sure she had great examples too. So, yeah. It breaks my heart.
It's interesting anyway. You're talking about pronunciations. Whenever I do an interview, even if it's somebody I've known my entire dog life, I ask them how they pronounce their name before I start recording, because I hate that. I hate not knowing.
Sure. Well, Valerie Ricard. That's what we all call her. Not in her office. It's Valerie Rickard. So, you have to. I'm sure she told her what her name was. So, yeah, sometimes we just, well, you know, I've put up with my name for all my life. There's no Naw in Ireland. My name's not Wayne Cavanaugh. It's Wayne Cavanaugh. And you don't correct anybody for stuff like that, because how can you? It would take you all day and no one would figure it out. I had a friend named Ward Halakowski, and he used to hate it when they said Halakowski. He'd say, there's no cows in my family. But yeah, so I apologize if I didn't get it right. I probably didn't, but good dog people nonetheless. For me, William, it is a month of rest, which I need.
Yep, time to catch up.
Not doing anything in April for a change. Well, I am going to the Pointer National at the end of the month, but got a few weeks where I need to just get back to writing and getting my files in order and doing more things around the place. We sold the RV and we're selling.
Yeah, you sold Graceland. You told me. Yeah,
sold Graceland. It's out of here. And we sold it about 2 days before the banks went belly up. So I think we hit it right for as far as timing. I don't know. People would be afraid. Anyway, William, it's been beautiful as always.
It's been a slice, even though you tried to mock me. That's all right. That's all right. You're still my
best. You do text once in a while. You do text when you're talking once in a while.
Oh, I'm researching things for our show. It's all about the research.
Right. You see, when we once videotaped this a couple of weeks ago, just as a pilot kind of thing to see if we want to do it for YouTube. And we both had to pay attention. We couldn't do our typical antics of walking around and teasing each other by making faces and holding up things. That was one of our, we focused there, Will. We were both focused. We need to tape it we need to do the video as well, just so we pay attention, because we're a bunch of fleeting Irishmen and the thoughts fire off like all over the room.
I think they'd enjoy seeing us be idiots.
Oh, I don't know. No one's going to enjoy seeing me. It would be fun. It would be fun. So there you have it. All right. I think we've said enough.
What's that?
I think we've said enough.
I think we've said enough. Well, you said enough. That's for sure today. You got nothing? Nothing. I got nothing.
I left the room, ladies and gentlemen, to make him talk. That's how this worked.
Well, I couldn't have time to, didn't have, when you were talking about your topics, what did you want me to say? I could just go, yep, uh-huh.
Yes, that right. Would be great.
That's right, Wayne. Party on, Wayne.
I love you, buddy. I love you. We have a good time doing this. Hope you have a good time listening. Anyway, I'm out.
All right. You guys have a great time out there. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Way.
You gotta be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the thanks, sir.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc.
Yeah, they want to see it in a blueprint. This is good. We're going to be here in a second, Wayner.